B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome in, Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. And for the final time this week, no Felger, no Maz. Instead, you have me, Catboy, Jim Murray, but not Adam Jones. He was on this morning, joined with Christian Arcand this afternoon. What's up, Arcand?
Better half of the night show, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. We have Arcand and Tim McCone again in my normal spot over there in the update studio and chiming in as well. And it is an agenda-free Friday. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free, where you can choose from new Acuras, Audis, see, that's how you say it, Mike, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. That's Bernardi Auto Group. com. We'll go to you early and often at 617-779-0985. As Mike is wont to say, Jimmy, you may release the hounds.
And, well, they are released, Jim.
Oh, good. And here's the thing, too. As I was just doing a Periscope on my way in here, and what was god-awful usual Friday traffic. It's just the worst. Just a little bit of rain. It's like everyone forgets how to drive, so I have to do it so I don't completely freak out. If you didn't happen to see the Periscope, I'll let you know right now. Think of it as like a super agenda-free Friday. Because Mike definitely still puts the reins on this thing. Like, it's sports. Talk sports. Like, whatever. Really? Whatever the hell you want to talk about today. Within reason. Like, I'm certainly not going to entertain any calls about NASCAR, because who the hell cares about NASCAR? Call about whatever. 617-779-0985. In the meantime, we do open up with our very own takes here on an agenda-free Friday. So who wants to start? Arcand or Bloodlust McCone?
I'll go first. The Chris Sale deal, which just broke about an hour ago. They were talking about it on the program prior to this. Looks like 3 years, 5 years, $150 million, $30 million per year. And that to me seems like below market for a guy who could walk this year and then cash in what is a total bull market in Major League Baseball right now. Guys are getting majorly paid. And Chris Sale, for whatever reason, is deciding, nope, I'm going to go with the security here. I'll go with the 5 years. I don't need that big paycheck. Bit of a red flag for me, so that's where I wanted to start.
Do you what's the bigger red flag, because of his aesthetic makeup, how he's looked, how he's broken down the last couple of years, how it gets to late summer and it feels like that shoulder's going to fall off? Obviously, a big scare last year. Is it more about that, or is it something financial? Like, what's your bigger issue?
Not the financial at all. I think the financial is actually pretty reasonable, and I think that if he went and became a free agent next year, he'd probably make more than that if he was healthy. Right? Like, that's sort of what, from Chris Sale's perspective, you would think, like, his people and his agent and all that would say, hey, yeah, you know, you could really cash in this next offseason if you just wait one more year. And he's saying, nope, I'd rather go with the security here. It doesn't help that he had to miss 3 months of last season with this never-ending, you know, inflammation in his shoulder that he never had surgery on or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, this to me, on the surface, I like it because I like Chris Sale and I hope he stays and pitches here forever. But the fact that he was willing to sign this, I think, puts my eyebrows up for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I've said before, I would have waited, you know, and I get it from their standpoint too, and even just how much he means in the clubhouse, because I do think that he is a factor there. I can understand why they want to get ahead of this and maybe not upset him. Lord knows he's been upset before when he was with the White Sox. He grabs some scissors, starts cutting up jersey. It doesn't take much with Chris Sale. Very emotional man, but I like that about him. But just in terms of, for me, the physical makeup, how he's broken down, I would have waited, but that's just me. But I think it is overall, I can see how smart it is, you know, from the Red Sox standpoint. It's short-term, high AAV. So the Chris Sale deal, you want to weigh in on that? 617-779-0985. To you, McBone.
I'm going to go NBA, and really in the history of 98.5, there's only been one take that got me, like, legitimately upset. Felger's take this summer about how the Celtics lost the Kyrie Irving trade, like, used to make me shake. I just couldn't take it anymore. After that 76ers loss, though, I went back and I looked at it, and I like to apologize to Felger. Because he got it right. The Celtics did not win the Kyrie Irving trade. And if you go back and you look at it right now, because I nerded it out on this, Colin Sexton, who was the number 8th pick, which was the Nets pick that they traded, In the month of February, averaged nearly 19 points a game, 41% from three. In March, 23 points a game, 50% from three. So if you look at where the Celtics are right now, you're the five seed. Kyrie Irving is not committed. He has been the leader of a locker room that is completely dysfunctional and might walk out the door at the end of the season. I don't know how you can look at it right now when the Cavs have a building block like Colin Sexton after this trade. You can't say today that the Boston Celtics won that trade.
Wow. That is very big of you, McCone, because I hate that one. Also made me want to like jump across the table.
It was unbearable.
Choking. Yeah. And I know I wasn't alone with that. I think Maz felt the same way. Most callers did. Jimmy behind the glass wanted to break through the glass Hulk style. You know what? Even if I come around on that, I'll never admit it. So that is very big of you, McCone. All right. Wow. He admits that Felger was right on that. The Cavs did win the Kyrie trade. Ugh, I get like douche chills even hearing that, McCone, but good on you. 617-779-0985. Like I said, truly agenda-free today. So we'll start off with Brian and Fitchburg. I'll get to my take in a little bit. But Brian and Fitchburg, you're leading us off here on an agenda-free Friday with, I think, maybe a question for Jay Stu. Hello, Brian.
Not only are you wasting the anticipation with Kofi Kingston winning the title with these week-to-week stupid challenges, now you're going to screw all over the young NXT good wrestlers, and you're going to pit Kurt Angle, who cannot wrestle again, in another WrestleMania match. This card this year is stemming to be old and boring and slow.
All right, thanks, Brian. I defer to you, one Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of this very program. Does the WrestleMania 35 card suck?
No, it does not.
What's he talking about there? Help me. Break it down for someone.
So Kofi Kingston is chasing for the WWE Championship, which is held by Daniel Bryan, and they are putting obstacles in front of Kofi Kingston to get to that championship shot. Is a drastic change, which I like, from what they have done with Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship on Raw, which is Seth won the Rumble, Brock doesn't show up, this is their match. They are storytelling with Kofi Kingston. I like it. I love this thing. And I think Kofi Kingston is going to win at WrestleMania.
This is a good way for me to also segue to this and let you know that for the final time this week, I have a pair of tickets so that you can join Jay Stu and myself and the rest of the Kowloon crew at Monday Night Raw, WWE Monday Night Raw, this coming Monday at the Garden, less than 2 weeks before WrestleMania 35. And I'm going really because, well, I'm a guy that likes to, you know, enjoy myself in a luxury box, and I got invited by Andy Wong at Kowloon. It was very nice of him. But also, I like going as a novice, or, I mean, I was into it as a kid, but I do, I enjoy, like, the theatrics of it. And I don't know, I think you get a kick out of it too, Jimmy, because I ask not a million questions, but you're like, you give me a good breakdown for someone who really doesn't know what the hell they're watching. Like the last time I went to one of these with you guys, I didn't know who the Japanese gentleman was that everyone...
Shinsuke Nakamura, who you identified as a Michael Jackson wannabe.
Yeah.
You know who Vince McMahon portrays him as? A Michael Jackson wannabe. He's the rock star, Shinsuke Nakamura. So good eye on you, Jim.
Yeah, that worked then. After the Leaving Neverland documentaries on HBO, though, I don't, Shinsuke might want to actually push away from the Michael Jackson table. But I enjoyed him. And who was the Jinder Mahal? I enjoyed him.
The modern day Mahara.
Yeah. See, like, I like going as someone that kind of doesn't really know what the hell they're watching, because it's a little more fun. Because I just kind of like, I'm like, well, I see what that stereotype is. And Jimmy's like, yeah, no, you're right. So I'll ask.
And Jim gets to see me with my proverbial hair down.
Yeah. And I'll ask my dumb questions. I'll see Sarge being Sarge with his belts that he just brings everywhere, apparently. So yeah, looking forward to that. And again, another pair of tickets for you to join us.
So they don't talk down to you in that when you're like asking a question, they're like, God, Murray.
Not to my
everybody knows say it who again, Shinjo say it again. Tara yeah. is.
Not to my face. But if they do it behind my back, I completely understand.
I certainly do not talk ill of Jim. Now, other people, yes, but not Jim Murray.
We'll go to Michael in Maine next here on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
Good, what's up?
Well, I happen to like clutch hitters, and I have a list of who I think were the greatest clutch hitters in Red Sox history. And the first one was Felix Mantilla. Dalton Jones, Dave Henderson.
Boy. It's nothing like the human emergency breaks that are the callers from Maine. They really. And it's Agenda-Free Friday, and maybe shame on me. I should have given them more time. But a lot of people want to get on.
I should probably add that to
the end of that
untouchables.
List. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you understand why Felger has some rules for this.
Yep. I'm learning my lesson real quick here when I open up the show to say, call about whatever.
No, the Kofi Kingston call was amazing, but that one, not so much.
Got my list here.
It's called playing our own CDs, Jim.
The greatest Clutch. Get to it. Get to it. There's a clock in our heads. Come on. Like, quick, quick, quick. Go, go, go. Human emergency breaks up there. I mean, I got a thing I want to talk about. All right, so maybe you can be a better caller if maybe you want to try. 617-779-0985. We're off and running here. Agenda free Friday. Anything you want to touch on from the week, too. From Kyrie Irving proving to be not a leader, again, with the comments he made before the loss to 76ers. Marcus Smart, he's not going to get suspended, but fined by the NBA for pushing Joel Embiid. The Mookie Betts contract. We now know Chris Sale is in the fold here for the next 5 years. This deal that was first talked about from Jeff Passan today, 5 years, $150 million, some Patriots stuff. Whatever. 617-779-0985. It's an agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Mass.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics up 69-58, Tommy off a 39-point first quarter from the Celtics, and Kyrie Irving was getting it done, wasn't he?
You know, when we talk about leadership and everybody questioning his leadership, you just saw leadership in that first quarter. I mean, he was not going to let the Celtics wander around. He got them immediately into the ball game, and they were playing very aggressively and very smart.
I'm definitely taking some games off for the playoffs. Just makes no sense to put emphasis on these regular season games when you know, you're gearing up for, you know, some battles coming in the playoffs.
Yeah, hands down, my favorite audio of the week. And not Tommy Hines admonishing myself and Jones and anyone else that mocked the leadership abilities of Kyrie Irving, who he was defending again at halftime of what was eventually a loss for the Celtics and what was an overrated game for Kyrie. Felt like it was a Rajon Rondo when the lights are brightest, not brights are lightest, Jim, on Thursday night in Philadelphia. Felt a little bit, overrated. But Kyrie, be that as it may, before that game, talking about, please, these games down the stretch, whatever. Seeding, who cares? Brilliant, brilliant basketball player. I love watching him. And I hope that he ends up staying here. I really do. But off the court, man, he just time and time again proves he does not get it at all.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like he really cares that much about this regular season. And I sort of feel like that's like a drip down from LeBron. You know, because in Cleveland, they used to coast in the regular season all the time. But they always finish first in their division. Celtics are going to finish third in their division. Third in the division. Like, that's not something you just sort of take lightly and say, yeah, we can just coast, forget it, wake me up when the playoffs get here. Especially a team like this who's not good on the road. They have under 500 on the road after that last loss to Philly. And, you know, it's the Indiana Pacers who, you know, don't look now, look a lot like you did last year. Going into the playoffs without their best player. They've been, you know, tough all year. And here you are, maybe having to go play Game 7 in Indiana if it gets that far. That to me, is pretty tone deaf.
Yeah, because of how they've looked, and as well as Indiana's played since Oladipo went down, you're right. Like, that's the best comparison. They're like the Celtics the last couple of years, that they didn't go away just because their best player went down. And if the Celtics don't have home court in that first round against them, that's not a given that they'll beat the Indiana Pacers. I'm not with Jones, because Jones thinks regardless, whether they have it or they don't, they'll still beat Indiana. It's not a lock at all. It is Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub, and simulcast NBC Sports Boston. It's an agenda-free Friday. We'll take your calls on just about anything at 617-779-0985, like Mike in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
I called a couple weeks ago, and Felger didn't like my idea. I wanted to run it by you and see what you thought about it. I would like to see the Red Sox have a couple alternate jerseys, just like all the other teams do, you know. And what my suggestion is, one of my many suggestions, is on Sunday afternoons at home, let's say, like just like the Phillies have their special uniforms on Sunday at home, The Red Sox put on their red hats with the blue beak, and then the 75 World Series uniforms, and use those. What do you say about that?
And that's the white ones with the old red trim around the collar. That's what you're talking about?
Yes, and around the red trim around the waist as well.
Mike, I like it. I am a fan of the aesthetics of athletics, meaning like I'm big into uniform talk. It's one of the things that occasionally pops up on ESPN.com where, I don't know, they'll like break down best uniforms in whatever respective sport it is, and they'll always get a click out of me. I love that kind of crap. And look, at this point, I don't really buy jerseys anymore. If I get hooked up by the team with one, I'll certainly take it. I still have a Brady jersey I bought back in the day. But when you're young in your 20s and get away with wearing one of these things going to games, like, do it. You know, I think people like an alternate jersey. I'm into that. I don't like the Reds on Fridays. I wish they would stop doing that. There's those I hate. Like, bring back the 75 ones. I'm into that.
I'm not a fan of the red ones either. The 75 ones I like. That's about where you should cut it off, though. Because remember, Chris Sale like the throwback jerseys.
Doesn't want to deal with anything.
Those big baggy ones, they'll chop those right up. So, yeah, I don't know. You got him for 5 more years. You got to wait that out at least.
CJ in Rhode Island wants to weigh in on the Chris Sale contract extension. Hey, CJ.
Oh, hey, guys. First, I just wanted to touch on real quick Tim's comment. Tim, I think I texted you also that day that I was listening to Felger talk about how we lost that trade, and I'm now putting my foot in my mouth too, because totally agree with him now. Never Wow. thought I'd say that. Going on the Chris Sale contract, I just wanted to touch on that very quickly, because frankly, I mean, for $150 million right now over 5 years, with the money that's being thrown around in the MLB, frankly, it sounds like it could be a decent deal at that point. If he holds together, which I know is a big if, it could, at the end of the day, you could be looking at it. He might be your number two or three guy in year 4 or 5. But still, at that point, heck, somebody like him, he might be on the open market getting 40 somewhere. So I think it's a fair move for the next 2 or 3 years. You get a good guy.
Lost you on that, CJ. No, overall, from a financial standpoint, I think it's fair on both sides. I actually was surprised initially when I was like, what's the number going to be? It wasn't as high as I thought it was going to be. My only issue with it overall, and I want to be consistent on this, is I wouldn't have given it to him now. I would have waited until after this season, considering the breakdown last year. And I know you were right to bring up he didn't go under the knife for it, Arcan, but
right.
That's scary. And you've had, what, 2, arguably 3 years in a row here where he's broken down that late in the season. And granted, he came back and obviously helped in the playoff run, especially in the World Series. That to me is a major red flag. I would have waited until after the season to give it to him. But from their standpoint and how it worked out and high AAV and short term, like, fine. It works out both sides. So good. That I just would have waited, that's all.
Yeah, I don't think there would have been anybody who was really upset if they did that. And also, didn't Dave Dombrowski just say, hey, we're not doing contracts, we're not doing any of this stuff here, we're just focused on winning, and oh, by the way, here's $150 million for Chris Sale, who, by the way, when he's healthy, is one of the best pitchers in baseball, certainly the best pitcher on this staff, but now you got a lot of money tied up in these top three starters. There's 30 for Price, 31 for him, 30 for Sale now, and 17 for Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, that's a lot of money in three guys, not to mention the 20 that Rick Porcello is going to make this year. So, I mean, they're really going all in with the pitching here and sort of hoping they can skate by with these arbitration years for some of their younger players. But, man, that just seems like a bubble, That seems like that could pop at any minute.
Tim McCone's opening take here on Agenda Free Friday today is now 6, maybe 7 months later. He has come to realize that, yes, one Mike Felger was correct when he said at the time, and it sounded like heresy, but yes, the Cavaliers actually came out of the trade better than the Celtics for Kyrie Irving. The Cavs did indeed win the trade. Joe in Bedford, go ahead, go yell at McCone.
Well, you know what? I don't understand what the obsession is with everything that Kyrie says. You guys dissect everything this guy says. Do you realize this guy changes his mind like the weather here in New England? And he didn't. And how do you say that the Cavaliers won the trade because Kyrie is not a leader? What, are you kidding me?
Go ahead, McCone.
Because he's not a leader, the Cavaliers won the trade because he's not a leader and he's out there babbling. This guy told everybody that the earth was flat.
Right. So that's now the face of your franchise, a franchise, by the way, that's now the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, you traded an 8th pick for a point.
And the Cavaliers are in the dumps.
Right, exactly. But they also have a building block moving forward on a rookie contract who averaged 23 points a game last month, while you have a point guard.
So the Cavaliers are going to, based on a rookie contract that averaged 20. You don't know what's going to happen 5 years down the road with this rookie guy that's supposedly getting 23.
You don't know what's going to happen with Kyrie Irving in 3 months from now.
Well, he's going to leave because you people tell me that, tell everybody that he's leaving because
you
of
people.
All of his comments that he's saying.
Now, what do you mean by you people, Joe?
All right, so if as of right now, if he leaves, I don't understand how you could look at this as a win for the Boston Celtics. You're the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. You're telling me even without Kyrie Irving, you couldn't be the 5 seed in the East?
No,
the Eastern Conference is absolutely brutal. Kyrie Irving wasn't healthy last season come playoff time. And this year right now, you've played yourself into the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Adrian in Johnston also wants to talk about this very thing that McCone brought up this afternoon here on an Agenda Free Friday. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Tim, I don't understand. I know the season hasn't gone how we all expected, but, like, Kyrie is not the problem. If you look at the trade, Isaiah Thomas, he basically hasn't played since that trade. Jay Crowder, he hasn't done much. Like, and Colin Sexton, any player could drop 20 on that Cavs team. You put Semi Ojeley on there, he's probably dropping 19. Like, that's not the issue. Well, you need Kyrie in the playoffs. You can't do nothing with Colin Sexton. That's the problem right there.
Look, I'm not saying that Colin Sexton would come to the Boston Celtics and average 23 points a game right now, but the fact of the matter is he's shooting over 50%, or he's shooting 50% from three right now. He looks like a nice player and that they actually picked up something. And again, as good of a player as Kyrie Irving is, as the face of your franchise right now, he's played you into the 5 seed of the Eastern Conference. And Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, they did not work out because initially the plan was, right, that you could get better down the road and also have pieces come in and be around LeBron James and still contend for a title. That part blew up in their face because Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder brought nothing. But Kyrie Irving wasn't healthy at the end of the last season anyways. So that first year was a wash for both teams. And you look at it right now, again, you could be the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference without Kyrie Irving right now. So I don't know how you could look at it and say that moving forward, you've got a rookie that's playing well on a rebuilding team, or you've got Kyrie Irving that could either be out the door at the end of the season. I don't know how you look at it and say it's a slam dunk win for Danny Ainge and company right now.
One open phone line you want to join us here on an Agenda Free Friday, 617-779-0985. Of course, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. And again, a reminder, sometime coming up within the next half hour, a pair of tickets for the final time this week. Join us at Monday Night Raw, WWE Monday Night Raw, coming to the Garden Monday, March 25th. A lot of Celtics calls on the board, so let's continue to run through some of these. Let's go to Anthony in Connecticut, who wants to talk about Brad Stevens. Anthony.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
You guys are talking about this kid Sexton or whatever, like he would have made a difference. Like, you're so sure that Danny Ainge would have made the right pick in the first place. You guys could have had Clint Capella, Zach LaVine, or the kid Murray from Denver. Instead, you got Jaylen Brown. All three of those dudes are way better than that dude. I think we can all agree on that. Second of all, why are you so hard on Kyrie? Why is Brad Stevens not getting all these harsh questions? Like, why is he not getting the most out of this group? He should be getting that question every day, and I bet you he wouldn't be as nice as he is because you guys are coming at Kyrie every single day with it, and that's going to be the reason why he ultimately leaves. So that's it. I mean,
thanks, Anthony.
We have a lot of power here over this Kyrie situation, it seems like.
But when it comes to Stevens, I wouldn't...
Driving him out of town.
I would think to say that like he's skating in terms of criticism this year, that's far too one way. I do think that he hasn't got enough of the blame pie, I guess, for lack of a better term. It has been mostly on Kyrie. It has been about what's going on behind the scenes and the discourse between Kyrie and guys like Jaylen Brown and the young players and Terry Rozier and him wanting more minutes, all that kind of stuff. Stevens really has had a down year overall. This is the first time he's dealing with big egos and guys like Kyrie. I've hated how late he's been on with timeouts, especially as of late. Some of his rotations at times have driven me nuts.
You didn't like that timeout with 1 second left in the third quarter?
Yeah,
like that one?
Please. So lately, yeah, he's driven me nuts, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think he's skating. But I also don't think he's got the proper amount of criticism, if that makes any sense.
Well, you haven't been listening to the night show then, because we have a whole bit with Brad Stevens.
Maybe Jones. Jones has been on him. As far as everybody else and in terms of just like Green Teamers and Celtics fans in general, no, I don't know if Stevens has got the right amount of criticism. 617-779-0985. You want to join the show here on Agenda Free Friday? I have yet to even get to my opening take today. It's NFL related. It also pertains to Cam Newton and how he was ridiculously in the news today for the most ridiculous of reasons, but it does prove the popularity of the NFL. We will get to that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone on an Agenda-Free Friday. It's Murray and Arcand in for Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That is hammered out to deep left field. Forget about it. Big fly for Mike Trout, and the Angels have tied this one up at one.
Boring. I think Mike Trout could raise his profile tomorrow if he decided that he wanted to engage a little more fully, give up some more of his free time. And that's his choice. I mean, that really is his choice. What player marketing takes in today's world, you got to be willing to be out there on social media. You got to be willing to put yourself out there, and you have to devote time to it.
12 years, nearly $500 million from Mike Trout of the Angels. And then just last year, you have Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, just essentially calling him a bore on national television. In terms of his athletic talent, what he means to the game, yes, I understand it, but that is a crazy amount of money. And I also think it speaks to a little bit of softness on Mike Trout's behalf, because I would have waited, like Mookie Betts is going to, for a couple of years, and maybe try to get myself to a bigger market where you can actually, win. You have a real opportunity to win, because he's not going to do that with the Angels. It's Jim Murray and Kristen Arkin in for Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll take your calls on just about anything today. Just about, within reason. I didn't get to my opening take. Arkand opened up talking about the Chris Sale deal. McBone over there now agrees with Felger and that the Cavs did indeed win the trade for Kyrie Irving. And for me, today, I think we got proof that this is truly the peak of popularity for the NFL, because Cam Newton, quarterback of the Carolina Panthers, announced he's going sexless for a month. Cam Newton is going sexless for a month in an effort to make his mind stronger. And it became national news. And this is it. Like, this proves this is the peak of popularity for the NFL. Because Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, supposedly went sexless for decades. And nobody cared. That wasn't news.
Tebow,
another one. Sexless. Yeah, we talked about it for a minute, but it wasn't like, this is like a real talking point today. Cam Newton, national headlines. It's all up in your Twitter feed. It's crazy. It can only go down, down from here for the NFL. Secondly, here's some advice for Cam Newton. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter. Going sexless for a month is not going to make your mind clearer. That's a fallacy. They've written Seinfeld episodes about this kind of thing. Like, it doesn't work. You can try, but you're going to do your partner a disservice potentially too, because you shouldn't stay bottled up like that. Trust me, you should not stay bottled up like that, Cam Newton, because if you're not careful, depending on what happens, you could end up looking your partner like it's an ice bucket challenge of sorts. So that's all.
It has not helped my headlines, by the way. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, make sure it's in there, McCone. It's big news today. Cam Newton going sexless for a month. It's the biggest story in the NFL. It could really only go downhill from here for the league. 617-779-0985. A lot of people want to yell at McCone about this. You fired him up. He agrees with Felger. The Cavs have won the trade for Kyrie Irving. Is it Mehdi? Am I saying that correctly? In Hudson? Hello, Mehdi?
Hi.
Go ahead.
So I just wanted to address the notion that the Cavs won the Kyrie Irving trade. Just forget about Kyrie's leadership for right now, just looking at it from a basketball perspective. The trade was, we send Isaiah Thomas, who will be out of the league in 2 years, Jay Crowder, who has faded into obscurity, and the number 8 overall pick, and Ante Zizic, Kyrie Irving. Now, what's left? You got Kyrie, and you got Colin Sexton. And I'm a big fan of Colin Sexton. I think he's going to be a great player. You tell me right now, going into the playoffs, who would you rather have, Kyrie Irving or Colin Sexton?
Yeah, McCone.
Right now, I look at it and I see that the Boston Celtics in 60 games with Kyrie Irving in the lineup are 33-27. And to me, I think you can go in any direction you want. I think you can be 33-27 with or without Kyrie Irving in the lineup if you're the Boston Celtics. And I think that off-the-court issues have led to some of the reason why you've struggled so much this year. And I also think if he walks out the door at the end of this season, which is a real possibility, and then all of a sudden you have nothing, I don't think 33-27 was worth it.
Norm in New Hampshire with the Celtics thought. You're next here on an Agenda Free Friday on Felger Maz. Hey, Norm. All right. The line's not working in New Hampshire because it's close to Maine. Tone and Mattapan with the Patriots thought. You're next here on an Agenda Free Friday. Hey, Tone.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Big Jim, how you doing? Class of 94, Melrose High School. Proud of you, man. Listen, my question to you is, what package do you think the New England Patriots could put together to get a top-tier receiver like Adam Thielen? What do we have to offer that the Vikings will give up a player like himself?
Well, we kind of have a precedent set last year with Amari Cooper going from the Oakland Raiders to the Dallas Cowboys for a first-round pick. Yep. Odell Beckham Jr. goes for a first and a third in a safety. That was the return for the New York Giants to the Cleveland Browns. We're talking Adam Thielen, who I think is, you can make an argument, in that top 10 of receivers in the NFL. It's at least a first. If it's the Patriots.
Brandon Cooks was a first.
Yeah, if it's
here and there.
The 32nd pick for the Patriots and, say, a fourth for Adam Thielen, I would do that.
Yeah, and you have enough draft picks. You have more draft picks than any other team in the NFL. If they wanted to, they could go out and pretty much get whatever they wanted. If that was part of this, if they wanted to get a Thielen or a Beckham or any of those guys, they definitely have the draft capital to do it. I'm to the point now where I think it's a pipe dream, really. I mean, I don't know any reason to think that Bill's going to suddenly go that far off course and go out there and make another major trade for a wide receiver when you could just go either draft one or, I don't know, magically pull one out of the seventh round who used to be a quarterback somewhere, whatever it is that Bill does to get these wide receivers. He doesn't draft wide receivers well.
No.
And never really has. So, I don't know. I mean, eventually you gotta break these slumps, I guess. But to me, I mean, they could get any receiver they wanted to, really.
Considering, with the scheduling, when I do tune in to you and Jones, it's usually you guys like before a Celtics game or after it, and it's usually Celtics or Bruins what I hear you guys talking about. So I don't know how you felt about the Patriots offseason so far and how they've, specifically at wide receiver, because they've now missed out on players they were in on it, whether it's Adam Humphries, Cole Beasley. They kicked the tires on Jared Cook, the tight end. Like, they've missed out on a lot of players.
Sure.
Golden Tate. What have you thought about this? Are you pissed? Do you want to see them make a trade?
Yeah, I actually would. I think it would really help them, and I think it would be good for Tom Brady here in the twilight of his career. The only one of those that really bothered me, I think, was the Humphries one, and not even because I love Adam Humphries. I didn't really watch him that much. I don't know too much about him, but I do know this. You had an offer for more money, and you didn't get the offer to him in time? Like, what is that? Like, how did that happen? Generally, these free agents don't turn down more money from the reigning champs when it comes time to cash in free agency and instead go to Tennessee. Like, that doesn't happen. So, obviously, there was some kind of screw-up there, and if they really wanted him and thought that he was a valuable guy that could come in here and be productive, well, yeah, they blew that one big time. I didn't expect him to be in on Golden Tate. I figured that'd be a bidding war. I thought he did sign for less than what I was expecting. And really, same with Cole Beasley and some of these other guys. They didn't take these big price tags. But the only one of those that I thought was really sort of a case of them dropping the ball was Humphries, and I don't know how you could argue otherwise.
Yeah, to hear that they offered more money and that they felt like, late with that push on that, that's frustrating. And, McCone, I know, like, you've gotten more mad by the day, because with each passing day, it does feel like they've missed out on yet another guy with Randall Cobb and Jared Cook being the latest over the last 2 days or so.
Yeah, it just seems like they need to make another move to get another pass catcher in here. It is weird, by the way, because I would love to know the strategy, because remember last year, too, Michael Bennett gets traded to the Eagles, and then there were reports afterwards that the Patriots tried to swoop in after the deal was almost done. Come over the top. So I just wonder, in terms of the strategy with some of these deals, if they just wait too long to actually jump in and see if the market's actually there or not.
Let's go to Anthony in Medford here on Agenda Free Friday. We have one open line, by the way. You want to join us? 617-779-0985. Anthony,
hey, what's up, Mark?
Hey.
My two things in the Celts. I hope Kyrie backs us up and plays good in the playoffs, because like you, Jim, I'm getting sick of his off-the-thing antics. This is crazy, the stuff he's talking about. But what I don't agree with you guys are saying, I don't think Indiana is like the Celtics of last year. Because when all the depot, they're missing their best player, right? But they don't have the bench of the other players like the Celtics did last year when they lost Hayward and Irvin. We had a lot more talent to cover up for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I just think in terms of you didn't go away. Because when Kyrie went out against, ironically enough, Indiana last year, it felt like, well, they're going to be lost here if they win that first round against the Bucks. Yeah, I mean, they made it to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They never quit. The Pacers also have yet to quit. Are they as talented as last year's Celtics teams? The Celtics team? Probably not. But they haven't gone away.
Yeah.
And you got to take that seriously.
And they have great young talent on that team, too. Sabonis and Miles Turner are both in their early 20s, just like, Tatum and Brown last year. And I feel like there's a lot of reasons to like that team. There's a lot of reasons to sort of think, yeah, they're tough. They're well coached. They play good defense. They do a lot of things that, the Celtics sort of used to do. And this year have sort of more coasted on their talent. And I think that's a big issue. And that can hurt you in the playoffs. The other thing about it, though, is in the playoffs, you also need that closer, right?
Yeah.
You need that that guy who you can just give the ball to and say, save us, we need you. And the Pacers clearly don't have that. The Celtics do. So that's one good thing, I guess.
More of your calls here in Agenda Free Friday coming up in our long commercial-free segment here on Felger and Mazz. But most importantly of all, coming up in our next segment, the last pair of tickets this week I hold in my hands right here. Well, it's not the actual pair, but it's the piece of paper telling me to tell you that I have the final pair of tickets to WWE Monday Night Raw coming to the Garden Monday, March 25th. You want these? Be listening. They're coming up next here in our long commercial-free segment on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Mazz.
Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Mazz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good pull on the rejoin here with some classic Van Halen with David Lee Roth. Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Mari and Arcan in for the guys here. Wrapping up a vacation week for Felger and Mazz with an agenda-free Friday. 98.5 The Sports Hub simulcast, NBC Sports Boston. It's just reminded me, hearing this, I don't know if you're a fan of Joe Rogan's podcast, if you listen to that much, Arcan or Tim McCone, but occasionally I'll pop in, especially if he has a guest I'm interested in, and David Lee Roth was on his show like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
What a delusional nut. He's always been a delusional nut, great front man, now looks like Carol Channing, but when it comes to his radio career, look, I get it that it's all subjective, but I think we can all collectively agree there's been no worse radio host in history than David Lee Roth. He was put in a very difficult situation.
Yeah, to follow Stern, right?
Yeah, to follow Howard Stern. That's tough. But boy, did he suck. Yeah. And to hear him, just go to YouTube. You can watch like a 10-minute clip of this, him talking about how it really wasn't his fault and how he is still so unaware of how bad he was. It's just jarring to listen to. I was like yelling at my phone, listening, watching to this. So I'm like, you just don't get it. Like, I get it. He's one of the great frontmen in rock history. So maybe, I don't know, self-awareness doesn't come with that. But, dude, have some accountability. You sucked. Anything you want to talk about here on Agenda Free Friday, within reason, 617-779-0985. Also, come to you in the next 5 to 6 minutes, the final pair of tickets this week to WWE Monday Night Raw. Coming to the Garden this Monday, March 25th, less than 2 weeks before WrestleMania. Don't miss the Shield back together for one final time. Tickets still available through all Ticketmaster outlets. We'll go to Tim in Nashua with a Patriots thought. Hey, Tim.
Yeah, just a quick question. The way that they beat Kansas City and the offensive line handled them, and then they went to play in the Super Bowl and the offensive line again was outstanding. Don't you think it's so important for them to get somebody to replace Brady, or there's nobody in this draft you guys think whatsoever that'll be a good backup?
Well, who knows? I mean, quarterbacks that have gone late in the draft, like Tom Brady, like Russell Wilson, have ended up becoming Tom Brady and Russell Wilson.
Right.
So who knows? Like, I personally, for the fair amount of college football, I don't watch as much as I used to in the last few years. I'm not going to pretend to know everything about every single quarterback. Zoe seems very bullish on this kid from West Virginia, Will Greer.
I like him too, actually.
He certainly talks the talk. I've watched a little bit more about him. He certainly has some cockiness there. I would actually try to trade for Josh Rosen, who they reportedly had some interest in last year, and seems like he's on the trading block from the Arizona Cardinals. He was a top 10 pick. Hell, at one point he was even talked about as one of the top 3 picks in last year's draft. They need to have a successor, so I'm with the caller. Is he in this year's draft? I don't know. I thought he was going another way, though, talking about the offensive line, because I until further notice, I think that the one big whiff so far this offseason, more than anything else, is that they didn't put the franchise tag on Trent Brown. And then there was reports they were still interested in Trent Brown. They weren't going to bring him back long-term on a big deal that like he got with Oakland, and not that I wanted them to either. I would think that would have been a mistake, because he would have came here fat and tried to eat himself out of the league like Alan Branch ultimately did when they gave him a 2-year deal.
Right.
But to give him the 1-year franchise tag at $14.5 million, and you have him as insurance as you try to bring along Isaiah Wynn, who I read at 98.5sportshub.com is already, working out at Foxborough and he's getting ready for the season. So that's good. But still, a rookie, essentially, who missed all last year because of a torn Achilles. Like, you want insurance there for your 42-year-old quarterback's blindside, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a huge problem with them letting Brown go because I wanted them to use the franchise tag on Flowers because, number one, I think he's the more important player, and number two, look what Kansas City did. You know, they franchised Ford and then traded him, and I think that would have, you know, made some sense for the Patriots to do. Letting him go, you'll get probably a comp pick in a year or two. But as far as all that goes, at the time, Michael Bennett wasn't here yet, so I thought, all right, you know, if you're going to franchise one of these guys, who do you have a plan B for? And they had a plan B for Trent Brown leaving and Isaiah Wynn. We don't know who he's, you know, how good he's going to be or how healthy he is or any of that stuff, but they had something there at least. So I was more bullish on them going over and getting Flowers here just for the year. And if not, you know, keeping him, trading him away after that and getting another pick and using it on something else. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like whoever they bring in on the tackle side and the guard side, whoever it is, centers, you know, they always get coached up. They're always able to come in here and do it, and it doesn't really matter who it is or where they came from.
Yeah, so you can't – it's tough for me to counter the argument of, well, look what Dante Scarnecchia has done with this offensive line, because at this time last year, Arcand, I was also saying the same thing about Nate Solder. You can't lose Nate Solder.
Sure.
You're going to regret losing Nate Solder. No, they didn't. And that was mostly in part because of the job done by Dante Scarnecchia. Again, Mike in Peabody has been hanging a bit, wants to talk Celtics, and actually has a question about Brad Stevens. Hey, Mike. Mikey! Hello, Mike. I'll put you back on hold, Mike, because you've been waiting for 46 minutes and counting. Another Patriots question from Trevor in the car. Hello, Trevor.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Mario Jones. Thanks for having me, guys. Quick thoughts. What do you think it would be if we went out and signed maybe a one-year vet like Jordy Nelson? Do you think that could help Tom Brady out in the long run or short run?
Trevor, it can't hurt at this point. If you can bring Jordy Nelson in a short money deal, relatively speaking, I'm into it. I mean, kick the tires on just about anybody. Don't wait until, you know, Jones and I were talking about this. It's Christian Arcand in for Jones, by the way, not Jones.
That's right.
But Jones and I talked about this yesterday. Like, the later you wait, because there's obviously going to be guys that are cut. I mean, we always say, right, like, this is the tough offense to pick up. This is why some guys can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. Guys like Reggie Wayne, Joey Galloway, like, you want them in camp early so that they can learn the offense. You want to do it now and not wait until guys get cut. So, sure, try. Like, I think Jordy Nelson's numbers from last year are a little bit pumped up. But at this point, in terms of free agents, who the hell else is still out there? They're all signed. If you can bring in Nelson on a short deal, fine. Try it. And if it doesn't work out, you just cut him.
The Pierre Garçon. I mean, there's not a lot of good options right now.
Crabtree, Michael Crabtree.
Jermaine Kearse. I mean, there's a few guys who actually I don't think would be terrible. Like, I think Kearse would be a decent possession receiver if he came here and could probably learn the routes and play with Brady, more so than a guy like Jordy Nelson, who is, you know, a down-the-field threat, and he's 33 years old. I don't know. I don't want any part of Jordy Nelson. I think that'd just be a wasted signing, just like Eric Decker was.
Mike in Peabody. We'll try you again. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, there you are. Hi. Hi.
Hey, Dan.
Go ahead. You got a Celtics thought?
Celtic question. You think Brad Stevens lost the team because the players lost confidence in his coaching ability?
So again, like, that's drastic. Like, you know, earlier a guy was saying, well, we haven't given us Steven enough criticism. I don't think he's good. Or no, he's been skating, rather, is what he was saying.
Right.
No, I don't think he's got enough. Have guys quit on him? Has he lost the team? No. There's been points within the last month and a half, I've felt that way after certain games, and they've bounced back. Like, after that hideous Houston loss and how they were carrying themselves, there for a good little, you know, day and a half, I felt, oh, he's lost the team. But overall, no, it's just been a frustrating year all around.
That's how about after the Clippers game, when he went all in on how great Doc Rivers is and how easy it is to play for a guy who's won a championship and used to play in the league, which, oh, by the way,
Kyrie Irving you're talking about.
Kyrie said all that. Kyrie, you had that in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Ty Lue won a championship. He used to play in the league, and you couldn't have given a rat's ass what that guy had to say. But now all of a sudden, Doc Rivers, he's the savior. He's the guy you want. I thought that was so hypocritical. But, you know, it's Kyrie. I mean, he tends to go back on these things. He wouldn't respect any coach. He doesn't respect Stevens. He wouldn't respect Doc. He wouldn't respect anyone. That's just not how he's made up.
Call number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. You will score the final pair of tickets that I have this week to WWE Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw.
Coming to the Garden this Monday, March 25th. You're in good voice today, Jay Stu. Less than 2 weeks before WrestleMania, don't miss The Shield. Back together for one final time. Tickets are still available through all Ticketmaster outlets. But again, call number 10 right now. Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985. You'll get that pair of tickets for the last time this week. Good luck. Coming up, the Patriots did free up some much-needed cap space thanks to a renegotiation with cornerback Stephon Gilmore. But what does this mean for the Patriots going forward in free agency? We will discuss that with more of your phone calls. Next, after the Sports Hub headlines with Tim McCone, it's an Agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.